This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Biscuit,
I've never heard anybody eat a protein shake before. What was in that thing, steak? You sounded like a goddamn goat chewing on a pack of gum. Handle your business, will you, kid? Later.
Pete and Sebastian Show. I'm Pete Corielli. The show is rocking. Sebastian, the man, Maniscalco on the other end, baby. What's up? How you doing? Where do we go? Where do we get started? Good doing video. I'm liking the video now, bro.
Bro, I'm telling you that the intro was nice, but I felt in your voice that there was... that you really had to try and sound upbeat, but really, you really had to muster it up to make it sound like it was important. But deep down, you literally feel like you want to throw the phone out the window.
Well, hey, I mean, we're performers, so, you know, this is like just... I'm trying not to do all that shit again, you know? Like, the other day I was in Walmart and the kid picked out her first mask. What the fuck? She did it. She picked one out. Not one that we had laying around or blue with the white on the other side. Now the kids are using the mask. I also just came from a funeral for one of Jackie's uncles, a fine, fine gentleman. Lived a long life, but bro... I don't know if you want to get right into it, but I took notes. I've been taking notes at funerals lately. Little things that I see that I want to make sure don't happen at my fucking funeral. You know what I'm saying, bro?
I'm making sure this thing is recording. I don't think we've ever opened up with funeral notes.
Well, and I write them down as I go. I'll just give you one little one. The son goes up to say some nice words about his dad. And at one point, he does this. It was really nice what he did. And I thought this was a nice touch. He goes, I'm going to let your words speak. I collected a bunch of the words that people said about my dad. And I want to read those to you now. I'm not lying. Like, right out of a movie. As soon as he started to go into those, it's summer. So there's no air in churches, right? I mean, they got all this cash. But when was the last time you were ever in an air-conditioned church? So the doors are open. Bro, I hear a weed whacker. A weed whacker over the whole thing. You don't hear nothing. And nobody gets up and yells out the door, yo, with the fucking weed whacker. Don't you see the fuel, the hearse? Nothing, right? So right out of the gate, you know what I'm saying? It's like my wife needs to understand, when there's a memorial for me, It's like a Broadway play, like Hamilton at its peak. You get the flickering lights, and if you're not in your seat by the time my coffin's out there or my ashes, you fucking missed it. I don't give a shit if you're the fucking president. You're on the other side of the door going, damn, traffic. That's it, right? Number two.
Hold on. I don't want to jump off.
Please, come on, brother. Because you were, for those new listeners, I know they're amassing. Sebastian, if you listen to early cast, he was an altar boy once. So did you do funerals?
That's all I did.
Wow. That's, well, how do you stay upbeat after that?
Upbeat because I was getting paid cash.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
Okay,
hear you.
So.
I tell you, so, cash does cheer you up, doesn't it, man? It's nice.
So when you die, are you going to have it in the will that the church must put the air conditioning on? And if they say, well, that's going to have to come out of your end, are you willing to pay for the air conditioning for your funeral?
Well, Thank you for asking that. These are all notes that I'm making for my wife so that when I die, it's like she's planning a wedding, but not a wedding, a funeral. So she's going to know to go to the place and say, what kind of outside ambient noise might we hear? And if she's like, well, the occasional motorcycle. Okay, well, your fucking establishment is out. Because I ain't hearing a fucking Holly halfway through Sadie doing this touching monologue about me, right? So you Jack, might as well gonna go, good day. Thank you. It's not you.
Okay. What?
Yeah. Ashes, though. I'm not going to have a coffin. I'm going to be ashed up.
Oh, so, see, I know, but I give some consideration to the coffin. I just, listen, if someone's going, so-and-so died, right? And then my question is, coffin or ash? And they go, ash? I might not go.
What the f? Why? Because you know, my corpse isn't there, so it's not as significant?
It's something to be said.
Shit.
I mean, the dramatics of a funeral. Like was this a coffin?
Of course. I tell you, man, you hear all the little chit-chat, like, before a concert, but once that coffin starts coming down the aisle, boom. And I don't think you're right. You don't get that with the urn, right? People, you got to hold the urn up and go, can we get some quiet people? What the fuck?
I got to make an announcement. The body's here.
Oh, shit. I know. You got to, maybe you got to add a big photo of me in color, like a 6x6, like dangle it right over the Jesus that's usually on the wall. So as a reminder why we're all there. So, but I'm with you.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
When you're at the funeral.
Yeah.
Now, this is not a wake. This is at the church, right?
Yes, this is the church. Okay. Correct.
So this thing comes down the aisle, closed casket, with like something over it, or are you guys seated and then the coffin comes in, or is the coffin up there already?
Seated, and then they have the ushers come in, but I don't know if it's because it's 87 degrees out or what, but not the carry. It's they're doing a roll. I don't know, bro. I can't be disrespectful.
No, could be anybody's funeral. So they got it on that like accordion wheel thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you make a good point about the coffin because I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I'm sitting there with Jackie and by the way, I am not like in the social distancing where, you know, they put the tape up so you can only sit two people. It's like, oh, that's, you give everybody the look like, oh, the virus. I'd slide over, but the virus, they get the tape. Some of them were ripping the tape out, man. They were saying, screw up. But anyway, I'm sitting there with Jackie. Coffin comes rolling by. I don't know if I've ever done this before. I judged the coffin. I gave it a hard look over, and it was beautiful. Really was beautiful. But is that like the last thing about you we judge? We get judged our whole lives. Now as you're going down, if you got a shoddy one, they're like, look at this refrigerator box. This motherfucker's coming down.
Oh, listen, I'm just coming from an Italian family. You're judging everything at the wake and the funeral, including where you guys go out to eat after you put the body in the ground, right?
You're right. Yeah. Which brings me to my next one I want your take on. What's your take on when someone's reading at the funeral, when, you know, they take people to go read? The can't get through the cry read, where it takes three times as long because they're crying while they're reading. It's like, yeah, listen, maybe we need to get somebody who's a little more detached from the deceased who can hold it together to read a sentence. I mean, you know that stop halfway through, wipe the click, clock, tick tock.
Well, listen. You got to look at the environment, too. You're telling me it's 93 degrees in the church. People are sweating. Now, if I'm scheduled to read, I look at the room and going, oh, okay, I did this at home. It's 12 minutes. I got to cut 6 minutes out of here because people are dying, right? If it's a comfortable environment, you go full speech. If you throw heat, no air conditioning into the mix, you got to cut that shit in half. Now,
I love the way you're taking the audience and their comfort into consideration.
I wish at my wedding, the priest and the rabbi would have done the same thing because it was sweltering out. People were dying. They're in tuxedos. It's outside. And they continued with their same thing that they would have done if it was a beautiful day. You have to adjust on the fly. And I do agree with you in the sense that if you can't make it, listen, you're going to get choked up a little bit. It depends how bad you get choked up. If it's excuse me. And then you continue. But if you're bawling throughout, I give you two balls, and then the priest's got to go, you got to sit down. You know, and if that's the case, do you have somebody in the batter's box to come up and kind of finish off the speech?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not any funeral I'm talking about. I'm not saying there was someone crying at this one. But, like, there are certain people in my life that I don't know that I could get through the monologue. I need somebody behind me with my notes, you know, photocopied, following me along, like an understudy ready to come in for act two, baby.
It's just a tap on the shoulder, and then you step aside.
Right.
And then the fill-in comes in.
And then when I'm walking off the podium, I cry with such ferociousness that they can't believe how I was even able to hold it in a little.
Maybe this is big of
God. They're like, oh God, look at him go. He was I'm right. Yes. Oh. So here's another big one, man. All right.
Yeah.
And this is a big one, bro. Today we had, again, I gotta watch myself. We had jean shorts with, this is a male, with one of those, like, you know, old faded Crab Shack t-shirts, like from Myrtle Beach, right? Now, again, when I told Jackie, when I get married, you let anybody come in to sit down, I mean, when I die, for my funeral, I go, I don't want them to get stopped at the door. I want them to get a tap. After they're seated and everyone's seated. So they got to now walk out and everybody can see that they know why. All right? A little tap on the shoulder. Appreciate you coming. Pete loved you. No, you guys are tight, but still. My husband, I swore I'd follow his thing, and he said, no T-shirts, no jeans, no fucking sandals.
Oh, God. You know what? I love the fact that he gets in.
Yes.
He's comfortable.
Right.
And then he gets a tap and gets escorted out by two ushers. I think that's a beautiful touch.
I'm teaching one last lesson on my way out. I mean, come on. Of course, he'll be walking out with flip flops on, going, "It's just an urn. What's the fucking big deal?"
Well, I want to touch on two things. You're right. When that casket comes down the aisle, there is a hush over the audience that is pretty devastating. I mean, it's like, oh, it's here. With that urn, you could mistake the urn for the chalice that the priest is going to drink wine out of. You don't know what's what up there, right?
You do have to be told ahead of time there'll be an urn. Yeah, look for the urn.
And then, do you do this being a comedian? When somebody's giving a speech in your head, do you go, oh, I do that for like you're critiquing the speech, like, oh, that's like if somebody coughs in the audience, do you go, oh, acknowledge that?
Well, there was one guy today, he was reading something out of the Bible, to the audience. And I did look over at Jackie, and I swear to you, to Jackie, I said aloud, I go, look at the way every other sentence he's doing a look up. And reading the last sentence as he's looking at us, I go, this guy's tight, man. You know? We're halfway through the sentence. You memorize the second half and bop the eyes up and read it to everybody. Oh, that's such a fucking nice move. That'll get you elected.
I've always looked at people like that and I go, man, how many words could they remember? Like, does he look at it? Because you got to make a split decision and go, all right, I got the rest of these 9 words, and then look up. I could only do maybe 3.
Yeah.
3 or 4 is tops on the word read at the end on a lookup.
I've done. You ever do the look up and realize you don't got to memorize, so you do the quick look back down. They're like, oh, God, he's fluttering like a hummingbird. Look at those fucking eyelids go. Oh, shit. Then I just keep reading for 2 sentences to regroup. Just fucking.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give our crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
This guy, you know what he did twice, bro? This is a magical move. Does a half read of the last sentence, period, pause, and a memorized and a half of the first second sentence, then a look down to finish off the... Oh, my God! I felt either he reads like in public, like as a teacher or something, or else this guy did a hard practice in the Sheridan room 203 the night before.
Oh my God, Jesus! 112 on iTunes.
That's become the funniest goddamn thing, bro. I don't even know if you're looking at nothing. I don't even want to know. Well, just, for anyone not doing a video now, I don't know even what the fuck you're watching on TV anymore. I mean, holy shit. This shit. If you don't tune in, bro, just for our tans alone, I couldn't wait to do this fast because I thought you'd comment on my tan. Then I tune in and you're like George Hamilton over there. The fuck? Holy shit.
Oh, fuck.
Middle of the summer, neither one of us is sniffing sunscreen.
I was like, do you wear it? I mean, my wife is so concerned. She's like, did you put SPF on before? I go, for what? If I don't got it now, I ain't getting it.
Bro, it's not even a real thing. No, but I'm right there with you. Jackie, on the opposite side, though, I went to slap on the spray because that gets nice and easy. And she goes, it was July 3rd. We're going to a party that night. And she goes, you're putting on suntan? I go, why? And she goes, wow, you just have no color for the party tonight, right? So I was like, you got a good point. So I went, no umbrella and obviously no nothing. Woke up the next day, still not tan. I'm like, I got concerned that my body's not absorbing. I'm like, did I put on some permanent sunscreen a few years back? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I toyed with baby oil, maybe a half hour dance with baby oil on my face just to get things started up. But she came back nice on Sunday. All right.
Oh, God.
He paused out. Here we go.
Yeah, somebody called. Right. I wanted to get back to the funeral.
Yeah. Because I have a couple of notes.
Like, here, I just thought of this because I've listened to so many speeches and readings at church.
Yeah.
Like, do you believe at a funeral, everybody's looking to laugh, no? I mean, you got to break some of this with a little laughter. If you went up there... Just someone go up there, and I hate when they got to do a reading like, this is a reading from Paul to the Corinthians. I want somebody to say, excuse me, I'm sorry, but anybody know what the fuck a Corinthian is? just to break it up a little bit.
I you know, man, it's a delicate dance. You know, you go to these things and, like, you know, any kind of wake, any kind of funeral, you like, you crack a joke with one guy in the corner who loved the deceased the same as you did, you know, and he laughs with you. And then you look over and you see two people give you that look like laughing at a funeral. Right? So I don't want the samba either. I don't want that either. I want laughter, remember the good time, the crying. Everybody's different.
Not into that at all. I'm just making sure this comedy gold is being recorded. Nice. 19 minutes in, I feel like we just started.
Beautiful, man. Me too. I love it. This is my fucking therapy, hanging out with you.
Give me the other. What else you got on the funeral?
Well, this one I needed your take on because I the guy looked cool and he was a real nice guy. So I can't make a decision, but. Young guy comes in, right? Good dude. Actually, was in one of the reality shows. He's a popular guy, right? And a really nice guy. And he looked really sharp. Did the extended shades on in the church inside. Nice pair of Ray-Bans. Kept them on for an extended period of time. And I don't know, man. He was pulling it off. But I feel like if I tried to do that, everyone would be like, what are you doing with you know? So what's your take on shades indoors?
Well, we all know who had the best shades indoor moment in film history, right? We've talked about this on the cast. Stallone in 3 when he's burying Mickey at the mausoleum.
Right, we did discuss that. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I believe, and he had the shades on because he had a black eye, but who knows? I mean, I think you could pull it off at a funeral because the expectation is you're going to cry. Maybe you don't want to show people you're crying. So I think you get a pass if you walk into a funeral with shades on. Although, I think. You have to have dark hair in order to do that.
And this guy does, and he looked fantastic. And here's the other thing, though. I agree with that, but how do you feel, though, if he's got them on? I feel like once one man has them on inside the church at the funeral, no other man can do it. What are we doing? Is this the fucking beach now? What the fuck?
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Well, here's the etiquette on that. Yeah. You walk in shades on, right?
Right.
And you start to do, you know, looking around, nobody's got shades, you sit down, right?
Yeah.
And then you put the kneel thing down, you put your knees down, you give your prayer. But you miss the guy to your right, he's got shades on, but he'd already been sitting down.
Right.
Now, do you got to take yours off because he was first one in on the shades.
Unless he's blind, I feel like, yes, you do. Yes, I feel.
Yeah, it kind of takes your shade moment away if somebody already came in and already spotted him wearing shades. You got to remove yours.
I tend to feel that way. But if there's one lone guy, it would be like, you know, like if it was a Tom Cruise movie. Like you said, Stallone, of course. Yeah, that's so yeah. All right, fair enough. Now, I want to walk...
Before we get off that. Mm-hmm. You're in there first with your shades on, right?
Yeah.
Now, the guy that had shades on today at the funeral, does he look better in sunglasses than you do?
He's younger than me. He's a handsome guy. So yeah, I would imagine most women would have coffee with me and then go hang out with him after the coffee.
So if someone looks better than you with shades on and you're there first with your shades, do you just look over and go, out of respect, let me take mine off because this guy looks beautiful.
You do bring up a good point, man. I normally go with a certain pair of Ray-Bans, but for the funeral, I thought it was tight to go with my teardrop Ray-Bans, you know, sort of Cobra-esque. Yeah, but he had a nice light pair that were more suited for indoors. By the way, my move is when I go in somewhere,
do you take your shades off before you go in, or do you do a, as you're in, do a, you know, do a da-da-da, da-da-da?
I've done this move my entire life where I go in and I'm maybe 5 feet indoors and I want people to kind of see what I look like with shades on.
Right.
To give to give them a taste.
I'm sorry, like a fucking hyena. I do that shit too. You, it's the intro. It's the, oh God. Just in case you're wondering if I look cool outside too.
Oh God. So my that move has been stunted now that I'm married, because Lana, every time we go in, she turns, she's like, aren't you gonna take your sunglasses off? Take them off. We're inside. I can't even get people to get a glance at me long enough because Lana's already on, take the shit off, or it, we're right. inside. But if I'm alone, right. I'm definitely walking in, doing a couple glances. And then what I do is I almost, if someone's looking and they're going, look at this dickhead with his sunglasses on, I act like I forgot. You ever do the like, the forgot move?
Oh, where, yeah.
Where you, you know, you're going, you're looking around, you're like, oh, right,
you gotta. You do, and you do a little tuck too, like that, on the button of the shirt, yeah, right? Let him hang.
I've often wondered, though, because I'm not totally into that look where you got a suit on and then you're gonna put your sunglasses hanging off your collar or your button. What do you think of the, and have you ever done sunglasses up on the head look?
No, I'm not a bookkeeper. Fucking can't stand that. Or behind the neck, you ever see behind the neck?
Oh, they flip it around like they got eyeballs in the back of their head. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's normally Oakley's. A lot of guys who wear Oakley sunglasses, they do that move. And that will destroy a friendship for me if someone...
I don't like it. I don't mind. You know what I've been actually looking for? What do you think? I like the dangling where you take each end of your shades and you stick them in that thing. So, you know, they hang... around your neck.
Oh,
and then,
man.
You don't lose them, man.
I'd rather lose them than have them hanging off my neck.
I know. It is a little cheesy. I haven't found the pair, but... So... let me fill you in, though. I need you, this is one of these things that would bother me in a funeral, my last thing. And this is what I'm talking about. It's the little class things, bro. So I haven't been to church since all this went down. When they go to do the body of Christ, right? You know.
Yeah.
He does the whole thing. By the way, he puts a piece in his mouth first, and he's got his mic up by his mouth, and he chomps down so loud that I lean over to Jackie. I go, it's like a Dorito for this fucking guy.
Now, are you getting laughs from your wife?
Yeah, she laughs, and you know, other people like, oh, he probably gave her a good one. It's like if you're hanging out with A-Rod in the middle of the funeral, he says, let's have a catch. You know what I mean? Anyway, not you, I'm saying. So it's time to do the body of Christ, and he's got the mask, right? This is what the priest does. He takes the Purell. Now, this is my problem. He's got one of them little ones, the little plastic ones that say Purell, and it's on the altar, and he just grabs it, pops the top again. His mic's right there, so you hear the pop. Does a squeeze, you hear a click shut, puts it down, and does the hand rub, right? All that, and then puts the mask on. Bro, do we not even take the Purell out of the plastic fucking container and put it in maybe a nice glass jar or something religious?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you gotta go, someone's gotta be like an altar boy. That's his job. To put the sanitizer in like a little gold dish, and you don't even know what he's grabbing. He could just go and just grab a little bit, and just, you don't have to act like it's even sanitizer. It could be you know, you could just wonder, what the hell did he grab up there? You know? It's losing the authenticity of the performance when you start bringing in, you know, it's like, come on. It's like,
for all you people who can't see with the video, Sebastian's literally doing a five-finger hand dip and then just rubbing them all together without adding the other hand. I think some of the older folk want to make sure, though, that this guy is doing a Purell dip. I like the dish dip. I do like that, though. I like that move. I mean,
but you know, you bring up a thing that I've never. It's funny, I haven't thought about this in 30 some odd years. When the priest goes in on the communion, the wafer,
mm-hmm.
and you hear it, right, and you hear him chewing on it, yeah. I've often thought, I go, what the fuck is it? What is his fried? Like,
man, mine doesn't sound that delicious. I mean, his makes me sound like, you know, I want one.
Like,
then
this guy's eating like zucchini chips.
Oh, and the way he chews on it, he's got that feel like that's his go-to during football Sundays.
He's having a bowl of communion at halftime.
By the way, it's also like five or six chews. I'm like, what, did you bite into a turkey leg? Yeah. Didn't it dissolve on its own? But the over-chew. It's the over-dramatic chew.
That's what I did. I take it in and it dissolves. Like, literally, I'm done with my communion in the car on the way home. That's how long it takes to dissolve.
That's it.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
How was your 4th?
So the 4th of July was a combo. It was my mother's birthday. She turned 75 July 2nd.
Oh, that's right. Happy belated birthday, Mrs. Maniscalco. I saw her. She looked beautiful in the photo.
Thanks. She turned a big 75. We then celebrated 4th of July. And also, my birthday is Wednesday, so we kind of coupled that in there and had a three-prong celebration.
Bro, happy birthday, man. Yeah, this coming Wednesday?
Yeah. 47 years old.
Man, you're a baby. I'm telling you, man.
So we had a nice little party. We had a friend of mine, Chef Dominic, came in, made lunch and dinner. And then we had like a little living room on the lawn where the kids had the little water slide. We went in the pool a little bit.
Nice.
Fixed a nice nice area for dinner. It was nice. It was a nice, and then they all slept over. And I gotta tell you something. The way I do, like, I got up before everybody else got up, and I start making breakfast. Right, Lana comes in the kitchen too because she's got an amazing French toast she does with the cinnamon brioche bread. Beautiful how she does it.
Now you gotta make sure, like. I'm going to cut you off, but I want to add, you ever have people over and you hear somebody up before you? That annoys me. I'm like, oh, come on. What, did you have a bad sleep in my fucking castle? Right? So what time do you get up, bro? Are you trying? So you beat the rush.
I'm up early anyway, and I don't know. See, this is the thing. I don't know what time they're going to get up, so it's hard to time the breakfast. You know, so before that, though, my mother slept here for the first time. We got some beds, finally, for the guest room, right?
Nice.
So my mom, you would think she's the Queen of England the way she behaves, right?
Beautiful. Well-deserved.
I'm taking her through her room. I'm saying, you got some towels here, blow dryers here. I'm doing like a little... You ever take the guest up to the room and kind of point out the amenities?
Well, I don't have as many as you, but I'm hearing personal blow dryer per room. That is, as you would say, a nice touch, bro.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, I had Listerine, I had extra toothbrush, toothpaste, lint roller. if you forgot anything,
right?
I got. It's like calling the front desk.
I love it, man. I was looking forward to my visit if not the corona, you know. Anyway,
yeah, you would have had it all tight, all in there. So I'm telling my mom, I said, Tom, you got some waters here, and she goes, no coffee machine. No. Apparently, she skipped over the entire tour of all the amenities, and she's worried about the coffee machine, right?
Yeah.
This is, I think, I don't know if this comes with age, where, like, our parents, like, no filter, no nothing. It's becoming worse and worse and worse. Like, if I came over and I wanted a coffee machine, I wouldn't ask. You know, I would just go, okay, there's no coffee. I'll make it in the kitchen. My ma, no coffee machine.
Yeah, well,
like we had to get on the phone with Amazon right away.
I love it. You reach a certain age and you will ask. You will. You look right at Serafina and be like, I love a French press. Why do I got to walk out to talk to your husband before I have my coffee? I'd rather have my coffee before I talk to your husband, Serafina. And you got to admit, that's like a legitimate request, considering you're the kind of guy that wants to make it as tight as possible. A little mini espresso machine in there. Wow.
Forgot. We had it, but we forgot to put it in there.
Wow. Okay? You even thought of it, though. Unbelievable.
Oh, of course. Of course. Oh, thought of it.
Wow.
So then at the end of the night, she goes to sleep, and I text her, I go, how is everything? She goes, there's a bug in my bed. Huh? Now, I text back, I go, we're in the fucking mountains. You're lucky there's not a coyote in your bathroom. Right?
Sure.
And she's like, well, just startled me. It's in the bed. I said, hey, fuck, maybe it got tired. Hey, well, I don't know.
Hopefully a gopher snake will eat it in the middle of the night. Well, we'd be like, well, what would you do if there was a bug in your bed at home? Do that.
Yeah, behave the same way you would if you were at home and you saw a spider on your bed. What would you do? Call me?
Well, it's good to know that Rose is feeling such top shelf level of treatment that she is feeling like she's in a Ritz-Carlton, bro.
So anyway, everybody gets up and we did waffles, pancakes, French toast on a platter, right? And all of it was in such unison that I took some blueberries, raspberry, blackberry, and strawberry, sprinkled it around the perimeter, you know? So if you were taking a French toast and wanted a little fruit with it, you just picked up some blueberries and strawberries. Then to top it off, I took one of those little sifters, and I put a little powdered sugar in there, and powdered the sugar lightly over all the French toast, the pancake, and the waffle, right? Then we had bacon, and that was on a separate dish. Then we had eggs on a separate dish.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. My mouth is watering, guy.
And then I brought out a large pitcher. I love this in the morning, especially when you got a lot of people over. Large pitcher of orange juice, but in a glass pitcher. So when you put it on the table, you could see what it is. Like, it's, you know, some pitchers are solid and you have to ask, what is that? Yeah. Is that water? Is that
right? No.
You put this on, boom, oh. You know, it's like the fucking coffin. It's time to start breakfast.
Dare I even ask? Fresh squeezed?
No, I'm not a fresh squeeze gay.
Wow! Now I gotta go on Yelp. I mean, you're doing a light sugar shower over the entire delicacy, and then you're giving me concentrate, guy. What the fuck?
The orange juice,
yeah,
is bar none one of the best orange juices I've ever had, and I think over the years,
yeah,
this fresh squeezed bullshit,
right,
has gotten really played out. You know, like, because I used to be a waiter, right? And then somebody used to come in and go, I have orange juice fresh squeezed. And my response in my head was, why, you fucking squeezing oranges at home?
No, that's why I'm coming here, man.
No, but they act like that's all they drink, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I go, no, it's not. They're like, oh, forget it. Oh, why forget it?
Your body can't adapt to a little concentrate? I tried the fresh squeeze. We all know that dance. 92 fucking oranges for half a cup. I know.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, what am I going to do? Yeah, go buy a bag of oranges for one glass.
I'm just saying, if I was driving home, that would be my only complaint right now. I'd be like, I'm surprised it wasn't fresh squeezed. I know, me too. That's why I asked. Did you hear me ask for water? That's because when I looked in the jar, I could tell it was concentrate. I'm just saying, guy. No, but
guy,
I'm
not into the pulp on the fresh squeeze.
No, I'm not either. You're right. You got to get that out. The whole thing.
Plus, a lot of times, fresh squeezed is a little like room temperature. If you're going to freshly squeeze it, you got to have the orange refrigerated and then pull it out and squeeze it. You can't squeeze room temperature oranges.
Let me rephrase. I'm saying I need squeezed oranges. You can squeeze them the night before and then put that whole pitcher in the fridge after you get the pulp out. But
is that fresh squeezed if you do it the night before?
Halfway through this conversation, I'm going with the concentrate too. You're right. This is fucking ridiculous. Now, do you even have, just because I know you, extra possible bathing suits never worn for people of various sizes in case they forgot them or something?
You know what? That's a good point. I do not have that, but after you saying that, well, I had my nieces here, right? Two of them are 6 years old, one's nine. I got you got to carry a wide variety of swimsuits.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, what are you, Marshalls? I hear you.
What am I going to do? I got a rack of swimwear upstairs that you can go through.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But like at my father-in-law the other day, he says to me, I'm talking for adults, right? I go, Jackie, God, I forgot my flip-flops. And he goes, I got a pair of flip-flops. And I go, oh, great, thanks. Now, in my head, I'm thinking, unless they're brand new, you can stay in the chair. Because he went to hop up to go get them. Yeah. And that's how I feel about a swimsuit. I'd love to take a dip. I got a swimsuit. Yeah, unless I got to rip the fucking tag off it, I ain't taking a dip. All right?
So, I'll go in my underwear.
No, you ain't going in. You're my pool in your underwear. I'm just saying, maybe you have a couple of male, small, medium, large, extra bathing. Bro, I don't know when you'd be in a situation where you're going to have someone. We can ask your mailman to fucking play Marco Polo. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Oh man!
So it sounds like a nice time. Did continue? Did you do a cake? Did you make it?
The cake?
Yeah.
Oh my! My mom's cake?
Yeah.
No, we had it made. It's beautiful. I gotta show you a picture of it. It's stunning. Nice. But I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
About fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got the sparklers, nothing crazy. I got three nieces and my daughter. So, you know, we weren't doing a Pete Corielli, M80s or bottle rockets, nothing like that, right?
I didn't have no M80s, but yeah, go ahead.
But we're sitting in the backyard and we're looking around and growing up, you had to go to, like, Grant Park to see large fireworks in the sky. Like, you know, the one that it goes up and then you're like, oh, this is going to be a big, and boom.
Right.
You had to go see that at a professional fireworks show.
Of course.
In the neighborhood, we had, like loud firecrackers. There weren't, like, skyrockets. They had a bottle rocket.
Yeah.
But I don't know, within the last 25, 30 years, that they have released the fireworks that the professional use to the general public? Because I'm looking, I'm looking around, and this is beautiful, like mushroom, right? Like you ever see where it's like raining down on people? I go, that's coming from a residential street,
right?
Where the fuck is this guy getting this shit?
L.A. was fired up. I saw the chopper in the news do a drive over, and just, it was stunning, as you would say, just the fireworks everywhere. So, but you're right, right? When did everybody turn into all their own Gucci or whatever it is, right? Whatever that guy's name is.
So close. Pete means to say Gucci.
So I'm sitting there, and like, and it was so good. I honed in on one house. And I go, oh, here's the finale. I mean, the guy had a finale, which meant, I don't know if he had to bring in other neighbors and said, all right, light these, and this is the finale, or he went to an auxiliary machine that he had. Like, what the fuck are they doing? I'd like to see the setup in the backyard. That's what I'm saying.
It's interesting, how do they decide what is the finale? Do they read what everyone does and go, oh, this one, we got to do this one last, Billy, you know? I don't know. Now, you bring up that's so you didn't even really, you don't have to even leave to see a nice show, right?
No, I mean, it was right there in the backyard. We I mean, and I'm sitting there looking, I go, growing up, we had no one on the block that had a firework show, right?
Which
do you think there's a demographic out there that's really honed in on fireworks? Like, is this a socioeconomic thing where do you think the nice neighborhoods have fireworks? And I'm gonna tell you from my experience what I think, but low income people, fireworks, middle class, is it a certain ethnicity that has fireworks? Who's doing large-scale fireworks in a residential neighborhood? What would you surmise?
I was driving around. It seemed like everybody, all different creeds. But I know growing up on Long Island, it was a lot of, you know, cops and firemen because, you know they're not going to get in trouble. You know what I mean? So they were more inclined. But it seems like blue-collar guys love to fire shit off.
That's what my thing. It was more of like a blue-collar, working, middle-class environment because in my backyard, I could see kind of like it's like a landscape of like the nice neighborhood, nothing. No, they were all outside watching working Joe Schmo give a beautiful fireworks show, and these people could probably afford a White House type firework display.
Right. No, it's funny because my buddy, who's actually, he's not blue collar, but he has his 4th of July party every July 3rd. I've told you about the Gronk.
Gronk, yeah.
So he has this great party, and he has it again this July 3rd, and he gets tons of fireworks. Real generous of him and another guy. I mean, we're talking like $15 to $2,000 worth of just crazy shit. And then when he goes to light it all off, you know, an invited party, he's out on a lake. And no one has fences, and there's homes all right there. So there's a family that summer, they own the house next to them, and they're there every summer, you know. And they have a bunch of kids, like adult kids now. And they don't really talk, you know, to them or know them real well at all. But as soon as the fireworks show start, that whole family comes out, and they got the lawn chairs, like, right next to us. But right? Yeah. So I said to him, man, would you like to buy a big black curtain that dangles all the way from the moon? So my question to you is, if you're the neighbor of someone that's going to fire off fireworks, right? And let's say you don't even have a relationship with them. Can you do a blatant watch where you set up a chair at the edge of your property? Or do you got to do that casual look through the window or off by the, like, don't let them see us looking, you know? Or do you just go, fuck it, I'm on my property. I'm watching that shit.
That's the approach a lot of people would take was, hey, I could watch whatever I want to watch as long as I'm on my backyard. But yeah, I mean, there's really nothing you could do. No matter how much you hate your neighbor, on the 4th of July, if your neighbor has an unbelievable firework display, you're going to go, this is fucking up.
I know. My brother even said to me, he goes, even though I buy a few, he goes, I don't even know why I bother. My neighbor fires off so much awesome shit. I just get made fun of when I fire my shit off. You ever see that? People fire everything off. One guy lights a Roman candle on the lake, and everyone's going, look at that fucking guy over there with his little Roman candle. That's adorable. A Roman candle used to be huge when we were growing up.
Oh, right? No, man. You throw Roman in front of anything, and it's like, Jesus.
Is
that the one that you held, and it just shot balls out of it?
Yeah, the psychos held it. I always put it in like a can, but yeah, you know.
Psycho.
So here's I got a quick fireworks story, right? So I got my $120 worth of fireworks, right? Now it's 4th of July, and it's the end of it's now nighttime. It's just me, Sadie, and Jackie, and her parents, and we're at my father-in-law's lighting them off on the grass, right? And, you know, it's mostly kid, like, it's not big stuff, but it's not little stuff. There's some, it's significant, it's fun, right? So, but Sadie's insistent I light them one at a time. She won't let me do a three light, you know, because she wants it to last. Yeah, so yeah. It's taking a while, but it's fun. And then we're getting to the last one. Now, one thing I bought cost $60 for the kit. And the lady goes, if you buy that, you get this big ball thing for your grand finale for free. So that was our grand finale, right? And it was cool. It did all the shit. But I'm getting ready to light that, right? Now it's completely dark. I look over. My father-in-law, he caught a couple of fireflies in his palm, and he's going, Sadie, come here, want to see the fireflies? What the? Even my mother-in-law says to him, Mike, they're doing the finale. And he goes about the firefly. This is the real fireworks show. Bro, right on my finale, catching firefly. So, and I couldn't, I'm saying to Jackie, I go, do you think that was on purpose? Like, I'm gonna catch a bug. Fucking disrupt the show. I couldn't decide. It's sitting with me.
What'd she say?
Oh, you know my dad. It was just, they're all over, and nature's beautiful to him, you know? So, it was fine. Yeah.
You gotta know when to catch a firefly and let it go. I mean, especially with a finale. Honest to God, though, when you lit the finale, was it all you expected, or did you go, yeah, I know why I got this for free?
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't have been my finale had I known. I lit off some shit that was better than that before. You ever do that where you don't end on a joke as good as one 5 minutes earlier? Oh, God. That's the worst feeling, man.
All right, yeah, or you go, yeah, this is going to be my closer. And then you do it, and you're like, oh, wow, that didn't get what I needed. And then you go for another one, and that doesn't go well, and where you're just going to go, oh, fuck it, let me go home.
Yeah. Oh, my God, is that the worst? So.
Oh, fuck, man. What's that? Something else, bro. What the hell else is going on? Let's talk about this commercial.
Oh, right. You take a look at it.
So tell the listeners.
All right. Well, hopefully.
What this is.
DJ Hank, can you play a little of that for us? It's a Martin Sheen doing single care prescription drug commercial.
Excuse me, ladies.
You're Martin Sheen.
I am.
Who's Martin Sheen?
A guy who's going to help save your family hundreds of dollars on prescriptions.
Right. Now, yeah. Again, this ain't as bad as Eric Roberts getting into a walk-in tub, but does this not beg the question again? The why of it? Why? You're ruining Apocalypse Now. Well, do you see the commercial? Did you see where he pops up out of the booth? He pops up out of nowhere. At one point, he's coming down the aisle as a mother and a daughter. You see this? And the mother goes, Martin Sheen, and the daughter goes, who's that? I'm like, you're a movie legend. Why would you let them write script making fun of somebody not knowing you? You're a fucking legend. What are you This is like Picasso just pissing on his own painting when he turned 75. I'm just going to piss on it. Fuck it.
I don't know how these offers come in. Like, the guy sitting at home, his agent calls him up. Listen, I got something for you. What is single care? What is it? I couldn't even figure out what the hell it was. Is it an insurance?
It's something that'll save you hundreds of dollars on prescription. I don't know. Is this something near and dear? If it's something near and dear to him, but I don't think that's what it is. I think it's money, and he don't need the money. So it's just, it bothers me when these people tarnish their greatness with stuff they don't need to do. I mean, Eric Roberts is probably a guy. You don't think I needed to walk in that fucking tub?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe Sheen needs single care money.
How could Martin Sheen need cash? He's a star on Netflix right now. I mean, Apocalypse Now. All right, maybe. I don't know. What are they doing with that? Is it?
Oh, what about Leota on the Chantix? What was that? Is that something like that he used to get rid of smoking, and then he felt like he needed to promote it? There's a legend. Yeah. And he's doing he don't even look like, and I don't know if we talked about this in the commercial. Yeah. He don't even look like he want to do it.
No, he don't even look like he's off smoking. He looks like he just stopped smoking long enough to do the fucking commercial.
He looks so angry, going, Chantix, stop smoking. The guy looks like he's dying for one.
I know. We didn't remember that. We talked about that. But like, come on, you never see Sean Penn doing he's never gonna come out and do a commercial for a fucking Chevy. I don't know. Is he? Maybe he is. I don't know. I don't know. Even now, call one. I can. Like Leary doing the trucks. That's cool. There's a delicate dance. I do a voiceover. That would be a good thing. Have you ever tried to talk about getting be the voiceover guy for a major company always?
I mean, like, what do you think of McConaughey doing Lincoln commercials?
Yeah, that doesn't fall under it. That doesn't fall under it because that's, it's Cadillac. It's Lincoln, it's like...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
If Martin Sheen was in a Lincoln, I'd be like, it's classy. I don't know. Even the single care, even that alone ain't bad. If he's just in a suit and he comes out and he's like, I'm Martin Sheen, and I know a lot of people are having problems paying. Yeah. You got to get this. Popping up behind the counter and shit like it's a shitty sitcom? I mean, even if you tell a kid you got to watch Apocalypse Now, starring who? Oh, that guy? Yeah.
Doesn't the mother go something when he runs off? The mother goes, "Ooh, Silver Fox."
Yeah. And the daughter goes, "Ew."
Gotta go.
Silver Fox. Mom, what?
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, the listeners are... And we appreciate all you guys out there, but they are asking when we're doing this newlywed game, bro.
Oh, I know. That kind of went by the wayside shortly after the pandemic, I would be... We could barely get on this thing, you and I. I mean, yeah. we set this thing for 12. Yeah, and at 12:15, we're like, hold on, one sec.
It's true. Delta pilot can take off faster than we get this thing going.
Well, there's so many things you got to do, like we're producing it, we're uploading it. You were on that text.
that was great.
I can't, what the fuck, man? I can keep getting knocked out of this Dropbox. Come and get it, man.
For the listeners out there, we record on the video, and then we got to download it onto our computer, and then we got to send it. And the guy, Mark, over who's working with us, doing this, sweetheart of a guy, really knows his computer stuff, but it's like hard to do. And it took me a few hours, 2 days on the phone with him, figuring it out, and this, that. And I even said to Jackie, I'm like, man, this is frustrating. I can't imagine Sebastian's going to sit on the phone this long and do this, right? And then when I'm working with the guy, I go to him, bro, if we don't figure this out in an hour, I'm just going to FedEx the fucking thing to you every week. And then I see your text today. You go, you couldn't get it work. And you go, listen, I go to Jackie. Look at this. We're on the way to the funeral. I go, he says he's going to put it in an envelope in his mailbox after every show. And can they scoot up the hill and pick it up? Oh, I love it. That's the easiest way.
It's really a pain in the ass.
Shit.
Not a good hang.
This is so funny. The funeral thing had me dying. Guys, I know, listen, we are creeping up the charts. I always joke, but we are creeping up the charts. Share the cast. We're doing video now. People seem to like the video. Always have a fun doing this thing with you. We will see you. If there's anything drastic that happens this week that we need to talk about, we'll get up on a cast. But right now, it's once a week, and we appreciate the listenership.
Good hanging, brother.
Take care.
The show has ended.
When the priest goes in on the communion, the wafer,
mm-hmm.
and you hear it, right? And you hear him chewing on it. Yeah. I've often thought, I go, what the fuck is it? What is his fried? Like,
man, mine doesn't sound that delicious.